This is an exciting day. You know why? Because we're kicking off a 5-week sermon series that's brand new today, and you're here for the first day of it, and you can't go to all of them unless you come to the first one. So you get a chance to be part of this whole shooting match starting today, a sermon series entitled Go, Abraham's Journey of Faith. Now, you can tell just from the title of that sermon series in its 5 weeks, you can tell that the subject of this sermon series is faith. It's faith. And that the example from whom we're going to learn about faith is Abraham, right? And you can also tell from the go that there is a subtext to this whole series that we have ulterior plans for every single one of you. Is that you will go on your journey of faith, just like Abram did, okay? So full disclosure, I'm just telling you right up front, I have a plan for you. And that plan is that you're gonna go on a journey of faith beginning today like you never have before. And that journey of faith is gonna scare the socks off of you, but it's gonna be the joy of your life, all right? That's what this is all about, faith. What is faith? Probably a good place to start, right, with some definitions. I think the most succinct biblical definition of faith is given to us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, where in the NLT version we read these words, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. That is so important for those of us, men and women, boys and girls, who are Christ followers. Why? Because we follow Christ by faith. Our faith, by definition, calls us to believe in unseen spiritual realities. And so faith is like fuel for our souls. I love William Clark's comment about faith. He says, faith is daring the soul to go beyond what the eyes can see. Why is that so important? In each one of our lives, men, women, boys, and girls, no matter what you do in your life, whether you're a student, whether you work for a corporation, whether you work from home, whether you're in an office, whether you're in a classroom, whatever your station, whatever your career, whatever your vocation, it's important for you if you are a follower of Christ because faith fuels your soul to step out and to do that which God is calling you to do. In an exciting and wonderful and world-changing way. Faith is vital for us because it's only on the other side of sight that we actually experience the power and the goodness and the glory of God, right? It's on the other side of sight. Faith leads us to that. That's what we learn from the life of Abram. Is that he stepped out in faith, biblical faith, Abrahamic faith, that has three characteristics to it, and that if we will step out in the same faith that Abram had with those same three characteristics, then we will go on our own journey of faith. And it will be just as exciting, it will be just as transformative, it will be just as wonderful, even if it's scary and difficult as Abram's was. So that's what this whole thing is about, is starting today in Genesis 12, and we're going to go through the life of Abraham through the 22nd chapter of Genesis over the next 5 weeks. We're going to study his example of faith, what it meant for him to step out in faith, because we are called by God to do the same thing that Abram did, and that is to step out and go on our own faith journey. So open up your Bibles if you have them, or just look at the screens. We're going to start with Genesis 12, where this whole shooting match kicked off with Abram. His name wasn't Abraham yet, father of nations. It was just Abram. It was just Abram. At this point, In his life, Abram is living the life of Riley in Ur of the Chaldees in Genesis chapter 12. He's a 75-year-old snowbird. I think he's semi-retired. He's a successful businessman. He's got a lot of coin. His retirement account is full. He's living in his dream house with Sarai, his wife. It's a split level with a pool. Has Wi-Fi. He is set. And then God interrupts him. God interrupts him. And it's a wonderful interruption. Because basically God comes to Abram and calls Abram to go on a journey of a faith for the same purpose that he comes to us today and interrupts our lives today and asks us to go on the same journey with the same purpose. You know what the purpose ultimately of God's interruption in Abram's life was? He's going to interrupt Abram's life so that he can, by faith, be the father of a nation that would give birth, it would be the lineage of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus came from the Israelites, and the Israelites were founded by Abraham. And God's whole purpose in calling Abraham was so that he could align his life with the redemptive purposes of God through Jesus Christ. Same reason, same exact reason that he interrupts your life and my life. So let's look at these three characteristics of faith. Abrahamic faith, biblical faith, because I want you to know what you're getting into. I am right up front about this. I am urging every single one of you to invite God's interruption in your life, starting today and over the next 5 weeks. So that you can realign your life to God's call into his purposes for this broken world that are redemptive through Jesus. That interruption may mean going and doing something different. That's what it meant for Abram. Or it may mean doing the same thing better. Doing the same thing better. In any case, I want you to know what are the three characteristics of faith that you're going to have to practice if you're going to say yes to God's invitation. The first characteristic of faith that all of us have to practice, what Abraham practiced, is trust. And I'll just give you the three characteristics. Faith is trust, action, and perseverance. It is trust, action, and perseverance. The first one of those, trust. Abrahamic faith, biblical faith, trusts. It's a faith that believes even when it can't see. That's where the trust aspect comes in. You trust. You trust God and his character and his goodness and his glory. That's what Abram did when he said yes to God's call to leave. Look at God's interruption there in beginning in verse 1. This is priceless. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Like I said, Abram was a snowbird. Man, he's 75 years old. He's climbed the mountain. He's in his retirement. He's living in his split level. Sitting in his lazy boy with a TV remote control, man, he's got it made in the shade. He's not looking for something like this. This is an interruption of God into his life. An interruption, like I said before, by God, that's going to align Abram's life with God's redemptive plan through Jesus Christ. But he's not looking for it. And it's really hard for him, it must have been hard for him to deal with it, right? He had to trust God. You know, God was asking him to do what he didn't want to do, he hadn't planned on doing. He wasn't planning on leaving. And so when God often calls his people, like Abram and like us, when he calls us to go and to do something that requires faith and sacrifice. He makes promises to us. He made 7 promises. You can go back and count them up. He made 7 promises to Abram. If only he would go. If only he would hear the call. 7 promises to Abram. And I think every single one of those promises was difficult for Abram to see. I mean, he just couldn't see it happening. Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to have a progeny. You're going to have a seed that's going to come, a great nation. He's 75 years old and Sarah's barren. Can you just imagine Abram telling Sarah about this conversation later? He's like, yeah, Sarah, we're going to have a child. We're going to have a great nation. I mean, and she's going, have you been hitting the sauce? No, I've just been listening to God. Abram had to believe God even when he couldn't see how it was going to work out. That's what faith is. Faith is trust. It is believing even when you can't see it. I love Warren Wiersbe's comment on this. He says, we are not saved by making promises to God. We are saved by believing God's promises to us. How you respond to God's promises determines what God will do in your life. Do you believe them, even though you can't see how it's going to work? Your response to God's promises determines what God can do in your life. As I was thinking about Abraham's journey of faith and how God came and called him, how he was enjoying his life, he wasn't looking for another assignment at the age of 75, but God interrupted. I was thinking about my own life, and I was looking back over this passage in terms of my own journey of faith over these last years at IBC. And I thought, you know, I understand how Abram felt. You all probably didn't know this, but 40 years ago, I was a college graduate who had a youth ministry in God's country in the Pacific Northwest, Washington State, Tacoma, Washington. I was a youth pastor in the heavenly playground of America. God's country. You had Mount Rainier with paradise where you could snow ski one day, and then the next day I could bring my kids down and water ski on Puget Sound. Snow ski one day, water ski the next day, and it's all out in the most gorgeous place in God's earth. And I was up there with a youth pastor and a wife and a young child, and God interrupted. Dang. I want you to be a senior pastor. I want you to go to a church. I want you to lead it as a senior pastor. And that meant going back to grad school, the seminary, and then taking a position at a little church called Irving Bible Church in 1987 wasn't my cup of tea. When Alice and I came as pastor of Irving Bible Church, having endured God's interruption of our idyllic life up there in God's country, it's a church of about 100 people in a different location that had just been through a series of splits. Did you know that Irving Bible Church has spun off 6 other congregations in the DFW area? None of them planned. That's right. And so when I got the call to come here as senior pastor, all my friends in town said, dear God, no, Andy, don't go there. That church eats pastors for breakfast. But I knew God had called us So we believed, even though we couldn't see how this made sense. And we came 31 years ago. So glad we did. Trust. Faith believes even when it can't see. The second aspect of faith, Abram's faith, biblical faith, is action. Faith obeys even when it doesn't understand. It takes action. It obeys even when it doesn't understand. Look at verse 4 of Genesis 12. I love this. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Now, you know there's no bigger task, bigger single task in this world than moving, right? That's why you call up all your friends and say, help. Abram and Sarah, they're uprooting their household with all the extended family and all their property, and they're moving not in the era of airplanes and planes, trains, and automobiles, but in the era where you walked everywhere and you carried stuff on your back. God had called them to go. And the beautiful thing, the thing I just get the biggest kick out of, is the writer of Hebrews' commentary on their leaving. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says this: by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. He took action by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Okay, imagine the conversation between Abram and Sarah. Yeah, babe, God's called us. He's called us to go. And he's gonna make a great nation of us, even though I'm 75 and you're barren. He still called us to go, and he says he's going to do that. And she says, well, wow, that's hard to believe. I can't see how that's going to work. Where are we going? And Abraham said, oh, that's the other thing. I don't know. All I know is he's promised that if we will go, he'll show us along the way. We have to act even when we don't understand. And he did that. Wonderful. So fast forward. Again, I've been thinking about my own journey of faith here at IBC over these years, comparing it to... So, yeah, we came to IBC in 1987, and then... back in around 1996, we were landlocked as a church. We were down on Finley Road in this little building with 4 acres of land. We were in multiple services. And we had to have more land. We had to move. We had to go somewhere so that the church could continue to grow and do what God wanted it to do. And I got a phone call one day that there was 18 acres of land in 3 different properties held by 3 different entities out of state that was up for sale, but it had to be bought really quickly because one of the entities, Chemical Bank of New York, was going to put it on the auction block. And so I ran out here and I looked around. 2435 Ken West. It was just an open field except for the IBM Training Center. And I just sense God saying, this is it. But I didn't understand how on earth we could do it for 2 reasons. One, how could we buy all 3 properties together when those 3 owners were like cats, trying to herd cats? I'd get 2 of them on the thing to sell, and the other one would say, no. So to get them to sell all of the 3 together because we needed the 18 acres for what we were going to do. And how to get a church here in Las Colinas, because you know, Las Colinas is deed restricted against churches. Do you know that? When Ben Carpenter turned his ranch into Las Colinas, he did it with the idea that this was going to be a revenue-producing township within the city of Irving. Am I boring you? And so they deed restricted Las Colinas against churches because churches don't pay taxes, and entities that don't pay taxes are not revenue-producing. So there's a process to go through to overturn that and let a church come in. But I had these three owners saying to us, look, you got to buy this land like right now. And that was 3 months before we knew that we could have an answer from the Las Colinas Association, whether we could put a church here. I'll never forget standing in front of IBC down on Finley Road one Sunday and saying, guys, we won't know for 3 months if we can use that land as a church, but we have to buy it this week. What do you want to do? I said, that's it. Show of hands. I said, we'll either have a church there or we'll be in the real estate business. 100%. Let's buy it. Let's obey. God has called us. Let's trust him, even though we don't understand. Well, the fact that you're sitting here this morning tells you what happened. Trust, faith believes even when it can't see. Action, faith obeys even when it doesn't understand. And then the third aspect of Abrahamic faith, biblical faith, is perseverance. Faith persists even when it hasn't received. Look at verse 6. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. By the way, that's just thrown in there to tell us that though Abraham had obeyed, he'd taken action, he had believed even when he couldn't see, he had obeyed by going even when he didn't know where he was going, that as he went, the difficulties didn't get easier, they got harder. He finally makes it down into Canaan and runs up against this cult, and they were doing unspeakable things. Read between the lines. And Abram's going, uprooted my whole family and brought them here? This isn't getting easier. The promises aren't being fulfilled. It's getting harder, harder. Verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. God encourages him, stay the course, persevere, hang in there. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him, an altar, a permanent symbol of persevering faith. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Bethel means house of God. Ai means heap of ruins. And Abram, when he got, okay, it's almost like there's a choice in terms of his persevering. Am I going to continue to seek the house of God, Bethel, or am I going to succumb and flee away from this house of ruins? And his answer was he built another altar. You see, Abram expressed his perseverance in seeking the vision that God had given to him, even when he had not received the promises yet. He expressed his faith in that by building altars. He pitched tents, but he built altars. Tents are temporary. Altars are permanent. Abram was saying, I'm staying the course. And again, the writer of Hebrews tells us what was going on. Hebrews 11:9, by faith, Abram lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. He's in the land. He has believed even though he didn't see. He has obeyed even though he didn't understand. He's gotten himself to Canaan. And now he's persevering even though he hasn't received the promise. By faith, he lived as an alien. in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was willing to persevere in following God's call on his life, to align his life and his family's life with the redemptive purposes of God in this world. He was willing to stay the course, even when he had not yet received the promises. So back to IBC. We came here, God gave us the land, and then enabled us to use it as a church. Isn't that wonderful? About 1996 or so, we started making plans to build. And we started that building construction in about 2000, 2001. That building program was almost $30 million that we borrowed. That's $30 million. And with that, we built the room you're sitting in. We built the town square. We refurbished. We did all kinds of stuff. And we had a plan when we borrowed that money to pay it all back in 3 years. And that plan was looking good, man. We were coasting along. We broke ground. We're building. We're growing. 9/11. The planes fly into the towers. You know what that did to the economy of the United States? You know what that did to, like, nonprofit organizations that are fundraising? I mean, it just killed us. Just killed us. And we'd stepped out in faith, believing the promise that God was going to provide for us to take care of us. And then 9/11 hits, and it looks like, well, not yet. But we hung in there, and we persevered. And we continue to build this ministry as an outreach of the redemptive purposes of God through Jesus Christ in our broken world. And we carried that debt for 14 years. It was only 2 years ago that we paid it off and received the promise. But there were 14 years of saying, okay, Lord, we're going to persevere. We're going to fulfill our calling. We're going to do, even though this hasn't, it finally was. Maybe some of you were here a couple of years ago in this room when we burned the mortgage. And we are debt free and the promise is fulfilled. Those are the three aspects of faith that you, if you are going to say yes to God's invitation to go on a journey of faith, those are the three aspects of faith that you're going to have to learn how to put into your life. Trust, action, perseverance. I want to introduce you to my good friend, Damon Arthur. Where are you, Damon? Damon is my friend, 20 years a member here at Irvine Bible Church, along with his wife, Loretta, and his daughter, Alex. And he is here this morning because he is an example of Abrahamic faith today. And I just want you to hear his story. Would you welcome Damon Arthur? Ready?
Yeah.
Damon. God interrupted your life, didn't he?
Big way.
He interrupted your life by putting a big burden on your heart. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Back about 6 years ago, I was standing in line for lunch, and a couple guys were talking about a method of growing fruits and vegetables using farm-raised fish called aquaponics. And so growing up in my family's feed and grain business down in South Texas, it kind of piqued my interest in what they were talking about. So I was looking at just putting in another company. Sure wasn't thinking about going into the mission field by any means. So, you know, after a lot of research, God really laid on my heart what he had planned. And that was to go into the developing world and help orphanages feed hungry kids. So I went with Steve Reese and Waters Basic back in 2013 to South Sudan to see if this crazy idea had any merit at all. So when I was there, just got one affirmation and confirmation after another. So God really put a burden on my heart to come in there and what he had planned. So in 2014, we formed our nonprofit TAG, and here we are today.
Tell them what TAG means.
Targeted Aquaponic Growth. So we launched that in 2014.
So you just minding your own business. You're a rancher. You're a building contractor. You're living your life. You're minding your own business. And all of a sudden, you go over there to Africa and you see those orphans and it breaks your heart.
Yeah. Watching kids eat out of the trash besides stray dogs and vultures kind of changes your perspective. Yeah.
So God interrupted your life with that burden. What kind of challenges then, once God interrupted your life and said, "I want you to," what kind of challenges did you face as a rancher and a building contractor now, trying to put a foreign mission in your spare time?
Yeah. The spare time has become my full time, basically. You know, I didn't have any background, obviously, in aquaponics. I didn't have the experts that we've now acquired through A&M, and we sure didn't have facilities. We didn't have funding. We didn't have any of that. So there was a lot of challenges to it. So basically, you just had to go forward without any safety net below us.
Yeah. So you know, in your college days, you're a rodeo cowboy, and then you're ranch. You come from ranchers, and then you're building contracting. So what you're saying is that none of that prepared you with the science of aquaponics.
No.
And you weren't like necessarily, you didn't see the way clear before you as how all this was going to happen. So you had to believe without seeing, and you had to obey without understanding.
Absolutely.
And yet you did. Yeah. Tell us what's the result of all that.
You know, it's really given me a real sense of purpose, obviously. You know, something other than trying to make money. You know, that's what the first half of life has all been about, is just trying to make more money. Now there's a real purpose, a real, again, that burden, but there's also a real joy and excitement. I mean, it's exciting to know what's in front of me for the second half, whatever God gives me. So we've been able to, you know, getting to see things happen on a firsthand basis. I mean, watching God orchestrate things like we've built out a training and a research center in Arua, Uganda, up on the Congo-South Sudan borders. We've put in a research center and training center out here at Christ Haven Children's Home in Keller. And there's no way I could have orchestrated that. I mean, so to see God's hand on doing that has been amazing. Yeah. So, you know, I guess I'd say really the main thing is, had I not stepped out and done this, I'd never got to experience all that we've done so far and what's in front of us. So you just had to take that first step.
The other day I was having lunch with Damon, and he was telling me about the Arua Center and how now you have some young Africans from the refugee camp that you've given jobs to, and they're now running the Arua Center for you, and they have like a telephone and a job and a paycheck, even a computer and a credit card.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, and they're just the first. You know, you're giving a life to those orphans.
Yeah.
Are you sorry that God interrupted your life?
At times I've been. It's been again, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's been though there's been a lot of discouragement and doubts at times, no, wouldn't trade it for anything.
Thank you for being my friend, and thank you for being my inspiration. Yeah. Can y'all give him a hand? Thank you, buddy. I love you. I want to close with a challenge. And the challenge is for all of you to pray the following prayer. okay? I'm just going to read it. You see it on the screens. I'm not going to ask you to pray it out loud, but I'm going to challenge you to pray this prayer. Lord, please interrupt my life as an invitation for me to live an extraordinary life in tune with your redemptive purposes and promises in this world. Would you pray that prayer? Imagine if we had 3,000 Damon Arthurs in this church. The call to faith is an exciting, scary, wonderful, difficult, and exuberant call. And I could think of some more adjectives, but Abram wasn't sorry that God interrupted him. Damon wasn't sorry that God interrupted. I'm not sorry that God interrupted me. And I can promise you this, if you answer his call, you won't be sorry either. We're going to close, as we always do, in celebrating the Lord's Supper. And I love this because it provides such a wonderful time for us as Christ followers to kind of process the scriptures that we've heard taught and the challenge that we sense from God's Holy Spirit in our life as he interrupts us and as he calls us to either do something different or to do the same thing, only better. In line with God's redemptive purposes through Jesus Christ, if you can use this time as we sense the pleasure of God on his Son, the Lord Jesus, as he answered a call to give his life for the salvation of the world, it'll motivate us all to say yes to the same call in our lives. And so in the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks for it, blessed it. Said, "This is my body given for you." Later he took the cup. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." And so he called his people that in that upper room, and yes, throughout the millennia, until right now here at IBC, he called us all to align our lives with his life, our call with his call, to be agents of redemption and restoration in our world as we walk in faith and answer God's call. If you would like to participate in these elements but are unable to negotiate the steps, just raise your hand. Our ushers will serve you where you sit. If you do come and receive these elements, feel free to tarry at the altar and pray, light a candle. Pray with one of our blue candle intercessors who are here to pray with you and for you if you desire. Let's make this a time of saying, "Yes, Lord, interrupt me for your glory." Let's worship together.